there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Are you enjoying the series that we've been in? We're making room this year, and I just want to encourage you that this is not like just another new year, new me message. Like sometimes we can get into the pattern like, oh yeah, in January we'll do like a, you know, come on, we can do better message. It is not one of those. God corrected me on this, right, when I came into January, because I was a bit like, oh yeah, another new me, new you, you know, all that malarkey. But in Genesis 1:14 it says this: let there be lights in the vault of the sky. This is God speaking, to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, days, and years. You see, God has created time for appointed times. He has appointed time for appointed times. And it's not just that we're in this New Year message where we're saying we're going to make room. I believe with all of my heart that God has appointed time for an appointed time for his church. I believe that One Church Bristol is moving into a season that you've never seen before. You're going to have to get more creative than we are, because God is going to do something phenomenal. This is not just a coincidence that you've come into this new year and gone, do you know what? There's just something different. Anybody else with me? It's like we stepped into 2024 and it was like, God is doing something different. It's like, I don't know what happened. It's not just that I'm on a new fitness regime. I'm not. It's that God is doing something. Something has shifted. And are we ready to make room for what God wants to do? Let's not belittle this moment in our history with God. Let's believe in faith that God is doing something remarkable. I believe that this is a year where the Christian is going to step forward in faith like never before. And I believe also that the curious people around your life are going to cross over into commitment to Jesus. I really believe that. Get excited and fast in February right now. Are you praying for the people that are curious? Are you praying for them? Because I believe that there's going to be people in your world that are going to go, oh my goodness, I think this God thing is real. And you need to be ready to go, okay, let me help you understand that. And then it feels really awkward. We were talking about this earlier, but it feels really awkward, but it is the best thing in the world. Are you ready? Yes. Okay, right, that's that. I'll tell you what, going from 2022 into 2023, can I tell you a secret? I was not doing very well at all. I felt like I crawled into the new year. I was like, you know, like commando crawling. We can just make it. If I could just make it to the next year, I'd felt completely beaten up by life. Life had been so difficult that year, particularly around Christmas. And it was just hard work. And I was crawling into the new year thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this, Jesus. And then that year happened. All right, let me tell you, Jesus was so faithful and so good. And this year, stepping into the new year, I was like, I'm ready. Come on, church, you better strap yourself in because we are going on a wild ride. I literally said that on the 7th of January as we got into church, and they were like, okay. And they were like, the few early adopters were like, oh, okay, yeah, that's great. And then there was like these terrified people like, what is she on about? And but I was like excited and pumped and ready to go into everything God was ready for us. So got to Christmas time. And I was like, Christmas is really busy, especially if you're a mum. You just end up like doing all these amazing things to try and make this period of time where everybody is happy, we all have fun, we all like party at Christmas. I was like, okay, Jesus, what? I know that I'm going to find it really difficult, and I shouldn't, but I'm going to find it really difficult to pay you loads and loads of attention. Anybody else like that? Just being truthful. So I was like, where shall I sit with you in your word where I can go, this is where I'm sat with you right now, and I can take myself away and go, this is where we are, Jesus. And he said, Psalm 23. And I was like, okay, but I'm really excited and ready and raring to go. That's the funeral verses, isn't it? It's like what people, are you sure? Are you sure? Or maybe I haven't heard you right. And he was like, no, Psalm 23. And so I came into this new year off the back of some time sat in Psalm 23, and I'm going to share some of those things with you today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, let's read it together, shall we? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What amazing verses to start the year on. I was corrected, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Take that in for a second. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will lack nothing. I have all that I need. I'm believing that at the end of 2024, we're going to be able to look back on this year and be able to say that the Lord was my shepherd and I lacked nothing. I really believe that as we make him the shepherd of our lives, that we will look back and agree in full, firm, convinced spirit that God, you are my shepherd and I lack nothing. I lacked absolutely nothing. But what does that actually mean to make him the shepherd of your life? See, there's something really simple about staying close to the shepherd. We are called to stay close to the shepherd. But how do we make him? How do we make this Lord the shepherd of our lives? Well, I think it's like this. It's abandoning myself to his authority and to his leadership. It's taking the keys out of the pocket and saying, okay, you drive. It's saying, okay, I submit all my great and grand ideas to you. I submit all my wins and all my losses. I submit that turn into the left or turn into the right. I submit it all to you. Lord Jesus, come be the shepherd of my life. I think that's what it means. You know, I feel sorry for kids and young people these days because they have so many risk assessments that are done around them, that they never get to experience the bumps and bruises of life, do they? It's really boring. There's no risk anymore around anything. And I grew up in a very risky place. That's probably not a phrase that I would use quite often for the podcast. My life was fine. Don't worry about me. But I grew up in Cornwall. In the countryside, and my parents were actually my youth pastors, which is why I'm adding that my life was okay and it was all okay. We would go on do loads of sort of like outdoor pursuits type stuff, and it was all very like haphazard. And this one time, we went to this area where it was like a woodland area, and then there's this big river that goes around the side of it, and they took us there in the middle of the night. Now, if you've ever been to Cornwall, there is like little to no street lights. So when I say it is dark, it was really dark. Like you couldn't see the hand in front of your face. And they took us all there, it was probably about 30, 40 of us, and split us into teams. And they said, right, we're going to tie you all together, right? It was called the jailbird run. So we were all tied around the waist in a long line. And you have to get to the disclosed location. And the first team to get there all together wins, right? So we're all like strapped to get, this is ridiculous. Everybody was okay. Strapped us all together, and they were like, right, when you hear the foghorn, you've got to go for it. Okay, so we're in the woods, and we're really excited, and it is dark, and it's exciting, and we're all on this adventure together. We're really excited. Only we have 14-year-old boys at the front of the line. And so, sure enough, we hear the beep in the distance. It's like, go! So we go charged off, charging off into the distance, and you can't see anything, right? It is wild and it's exciting and we're all going for it. And then all of a sudden, I hear ahead of me screams, right? I'm at the back of the line. My little sisters are somewhere in the middle, and then these 14-year-old boys at the front of the queue. And they had leapt off a small cliff. And one lot went that way, the other lot went that way, around a tree, and my sisters were dangling off the edge, like hanging off this tree, just dangling there. And they were like hanging, like, help! But how many of you know that what we needed in that moment was not 14-year-old boys leading the line? Right? They just wanted to win at all costs. They did not care what was going on behind them. They were like, we just got to get to that location before the other team, right? And you know what? Life can be a bit like that sometimes. We have to recognize that who's leading you really matters. In that moment, I realized who's leading us really matters. I did not want a 14-year-old boy leading us anywhere. They got demoted. But who's leading us really, really matters. What we didn't need a 14-year-old boy that day. We didn't even need a risk assessment. What we needed was a shepherd who was going to get everybody to where they needed to go to. The trouble is this. We quite often make Jesus our saviour, and we forget to make him our Lord. And you can't have a shepherd without making him Lord. And it's challenged me to my core that if I want to get to the end of the next year, understanding that I lacked nothing, then I need to understand that I need a shepherd in my life. I need a shepherd in my life. And I believe that God is going to redeem the role of the shepherd in our lives in a way that we've never experienced before. You know, perhaps some of us today, you've been led by your family history and it's taken you on all sorts of roads you wish it hadn't. Maybe you're here today and you're just trying to lead yourself and just get from A to B and you don't really know what you're doing. You're doing your best, but you have no idea which way to turn. And maybe there's some people in the room today that feel completely abandoned by the shepherds in your life, the people that were supposed to get you somewhere. Perhaps it's a dad that walked out and never came back. Perhaps it's a person in your world that you thought was showing you the right way to go, but they actually led you down a path you wish you never went down. Perhaps you've looked to relationships to lead you where you want to be because you just got this desire to have the perfect family. Perhaps the shepherd in your life has been your finance and you're just like, if I can just get this job, if I can just get this promotion, if I can just get that, then that will get me where I need to go, and you've been left abandoned by it. I've got good news for you today, because there is a good shepherd who will lead your life well. This is the kind of thing that happens when you make Jesus your Lord. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Places with plenty to eat. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. That's the good shepherd. That's the shepherd that you will understand in this year is leading you into good places beside quiet waters. He refreshes your soul. You see, sheep, they don't worry if there's going to be something to eat. Do they? They just stay close to the shepherd. Sheep, they don't even worry about where to walk next. They just stay close to the shepherd. Sheep, they don't even really worry about predators. They stay close to the shepherd. And that's our role, to just stay close to the shepherd, to stay hungry and follow the shepherd. We're fasting at the moment, and all this fasting is about really is making us hungry for him above the things that would fill our lives otherwise. It's just staying close to the shepherd. Our role is to stay hungry and stay close to the shepherd. But the trouble is, we don't like the feeling of hungry, and we don't like to follow, do we? We like to make, I'll make my own mind up, thank you very much. No, I want a piece of that cake, it looks really good. Well done, those of you that didn't go for the cakes when you came in earlier. We don't like hunger and we don't like to follow, but I want to encourage you today that there is simplicity when you follow the shepherd and you will lack nothing. But I think to understand how we can lack nothing, we need to redefine what that actually means. Because the world will tell us that when we have all our ducks in a row, we have enough money in the bank and in our savings and it'll all be okay and we've got life assurance for life, right? When I've got the family and I've got the kids and I've figured all that out, it'll all be okay, isn't actually how I would define lacking nothing. It's very awesome. I would like that, Lord Jesus, in my bank account. But that is not... let's redefine the word lack here. You see, in the next, you've got this beautiful opening statement, haven't you, of the Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. Anybody else think of the Vicar of Dibley when you hear that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want... No, okay. And you're welcome. I can come next week if you want. I join in. This beautiful statement. But then you have this list of good things in not great scenarios. You have a list of good things in not great scenarios. Let's go through them right now. So we have, even though I walk through the darkest valley, sounds dreadful, but even though there I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. And then you've got this, and your rod and your staff. That sounds uncomfortable, right? So rod and the staff, it talks of discipline, actually. It talks of, you know, sheep, this way a little bit. Doesn't feel very comfortable, does it? But yet the statement says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How are these two things existing together? And then it says, in the presence of my enemies, there you lay a table before me. So you're having a great feast with all the things you could possibly want, and you're feasting in the presence of your enemies. Now, I'm sure this has never happened to any of you, but I know what it's like to be at the center of that circle in the school playing field where everybody else is around the outside going, fight, 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 fight. Let me tell you, that is not the place I wanted to have a McDonald's. And yet, in those places where you feel like everything is against you, there he lays a table before me. What? How are these two things existing together? The truth is this, we have to learn to look for the shepherd. You see, the prize isn't that I get to be outside of the valley. The prize isn't that I get to avoid his correction and his discipline in my life. The prize isn't the fact that I can be away from all my enemies. No, no, no. The prize is Jesus. He is the prize. We have to mature and we have to redefine what it really means to not be in lack. If you have Jesus with you, you lack nothing. You can be in the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, for he is with you. He's the prize. Let's redefine our seasons when we're looking at things with such difficulty and overwhelmed by it. He is the prize. I'll tell you a story. I a couple of years ago, I was not doing very well, and I'd experienced some quite significant trauma in my life. I've been through a couple of things where we'd lost a baby, and I'd had cancer, and it was all very hard, and I'd just, like, firm-faced my way right through it, like, nah! But then I got to this point where all these things caught up with me, and I was really traumatized. And I went and I got some therapy, I think therapy is really good. In fact, it's all over the Bible. You know, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ is CBT, just so as you know. And I went away and had some therapy. And in this this time, the therapist said to me, she said, right, I want you to go back to that trauma, that memory, one of many. And she said, now I want you to ask Jesus where he was in the room. And I said, Deb, that sounds so stupid. And she said, no, 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 trust me. Ask him where he was in the room. And I reluctantly did it because I thought, I'm going to make her feel awkward in a minute. And as I sat there and I went back to this awful moment in my life, and then all of a sudden, I could see where Jesus was. I could see where he was in the room. Guess what? Those memories don't traumatize me anymore, because the presence of my shepherd meant I knew it was all going to be okay. The presence of my shepherd meant he cared for it. I saw him catching the tears, very angry tears that were running down my face. He didn't waste one of them. I lacked nothing in that moment. I lacked nothing in my darkest valley. I lacked nothing when my enemies were taunting me in front of me. I lacked nothing, for he was with me. And I couldn't make sense of it, and I didn't know why it was happening, but the fact that he was present meant that I lacked nothing. You see, the truth is this: we can see the valley, or we can see the one that is with us. We can experience his discipline, or we can understand it's his comfort and his protection over our life. We can fear the enemy, or we can feast with the Father. How beautiful is that? We're making room for the shepherd in our lives. We're making room for a shepherd to take the keys of our life and walk with us. He is the prize. He is the prize. I wonder if you can join me, Liam. That would be cool. He's the prize. We've got to make room for him, haven't we? Got to make room for him to be the shepherd. It means we have to take some of the decision making and go, okay, God, I'm going to check in with you first. We need to make room in our day to day to just go, okay, where are you, shepherd? Because quite often, I don't know about you, but I'm often going, oh yeah, Jesus, we're going over here. And he's like, no, 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 we're going over here. Are you coming with me or not? We have to make room for him to be that person in our lives. We have to make room for him to be the shepherd. The third thing is this: we need to recognize that he is my shepherd. My shepherd. Not my mum's shepherd. Not my dad's shepherd. My shepherd. I don't know why you're here today. I don't know if you're here because a friend has brought you. I don't know if you're here because your parents have dragged you to church this morning. But I want you to know that at some point, you get to make the decision. You don't have to. You get to make the decision to say, Jesus, I want you to be my shepherd. Not my mum's shepherd. Not my dad's shepherd. My shepherd. There's another group of people in here today, and you're here because you love to be part of community. You love the way that everyone makes you feel when you come in this place, and it's great, isn't it? And what a great welcome I've had this morning. And it's good. You can come and you can just be here and you can just enjoy the fact that you're part of a community, but there is something that you're missing, and that is to be able to say, he's my shepherd, not my church's shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. My kids will quite often come and sit on my lap, and they'll cooch right in and they'll snuggle in. Well, not so much with my 8-year-old anymore. It's just wonderful when she does. Apart from the fact that she'll come and sit and she'll snuggle right in, and then she'll look up at me, and then she'll say, oh, mummy, you've got spots. Or she'll say, Mummy, you have a wrinkle. Now, I know you can't see any because you're too far away, all right? And I have makeup on and the lighting's good. But in these moments, she can see that I'm older than I pretend to be. And she'll say, honestly, now, she can only see those things because she's close. Let's flip it for a second. Some of us don't want Jesus to come close enough to see our wrinkles, to see our blemishes, to see our faults, to see our yuck, to see our fears, to see the disappointments, to see the things that make us full of shame. But as one person that was riddled with shame, can I tell you? He comes and he goes, let's just take that off. Let's just wipe that away. I see those things. I see who's beyond those things. And I love you. I would love to be your shepherd. I left the 99 just to come after you. And I'm ready whenever you are wanting to make me the shepherd of your life. I can bring you back into the flock. I can make sure you're well fed. I can make sure you're safe from predators because I'm your prize now. I love you. That's the shepherd. The shepherd is coming and he's saying it's time to take the shame off you. He's coming to us and he's saying it's time to move what you know in your head and move it to your heart. So I used to come to church and I knew everything. I was a pastor's kid. I knew everything. Knew every story they told me over and over again. I knew where the chairs needed to be put out. I knew what the routine was. I knew how to look like a good Christian, pretend to be a good Christian. But there was a moment where it dropped from my head into my heart and I saw the shepherd. And I'm praying that for us today. I don't know how you've come in today. I don't know what valleys you're facing. I don't know what fights you're in right now, but I'm telling you there is a shepherd that's saying, would you make room for me to come and feast with you? Would you make room for me to lead you through this valley right now? Because I love you. I love you.